Okay, good morning. I hope everybody is well. Cool as cucumbers. We're holding today at Perek Yud Gimel of the Maral, and we are expecting at Hashem that we'll do Perek Yud Gimel and Perek Yud Daled this morning. The way many of these prakim work, as you'll see again, as I mentioned before, but we haven't had it with the same stark difference of style that we're Mirat Hashem going to have in the prakim coming up. But the Maral here, Perek Yud Gimel, actually, in fact, the last of a style, and then he gets into much more piecemeal examination of the parsha of Golus Ugulas Mitzrayim as it goes along. In this Perek, Perek Shloisha Asar, so he just goes back a little bit after we learned in the last Perek about the Shisha Bekeres Echad and the prolific productivity of the Jewish people producing 6 or 60 or whatever it was, and how that related to the 6 Bekeres Echad or the 60 related to the Shishim Ribay, to the 600,000 that or the 60 multitudes that would constitute in Israel, the Prat and the Klal. So the Maral here just goes over the numbers a little bit. Right? He goes over the numbers like they do on the newscasts. What are the numbers? It says when Klal Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim, we have the minyan of the Yud Beis Shvatim of the 12 tribes, what the Pasuk actually enumerates and lists. And then we have the idea of the Shivim Nefesh, of the 70 souls. And they aren't even mentioned by name, because the 12 is a much higher madrega, a much more significant tier, a more significant level, and therefore they're nimnim, they're counted by name because they're chashivus. But the 70 is really to create a nation of 70. And therefore, at this point, even though back in Parshas Vayigash, they were enumerated by name, but over here at this point they are not enumerated by name. The Maral advances here a theory and understanding where he says that 12, there's a completeness to 12. And here, if you remember last week we had a theory of 10, a theory of 6. Maral's theory of 12 is that when you look at a cube like I'm showing you here, right, a three-dimensional object, so it has 6 sides, right? But each side has 2 poles, right? What he calls the bottom and the top of this side, the bottom and the top of this side, the bottom and the top of this side, and so on and so forth. So 12 makes for the full completeness of it, right? Last week we had a cheshbon where each side had a bottom, a top, a middle, bottom, top, middle, bottom, top, middle. If you remember, they made 10 to a side. So again, it's hard, as I said to you last week, to figure out exactly when you use this numbering system, when you use that numbering system. But each numbering system, as the Maral explains, it has a rationale to describe how the shleimus, the fullness of the item, becomes the born. Yeah.
Do other people talk about that? Not that I know of.
I mean, there are others who use the Maral systems and speak about it and some degree less, Bali Machshava, but Maral's very intensely involved in it. I'm sure there must be some other. I just don't know.
It's Kabbalah,
presumably. Sort of. It's whatever, rational Kabbalah. That's what it is. Now the other sort of enigma which we have in the whole parsha of the Shivim Nefesh is where do you have actually Shivim Nefesh? Where do you have 70 souls? In Shmais, in Parsha Shmais, when it speaks, it says, all the souls coming from Yaakov were 70 souls, and Yosef haya b'Mitzrayim, and Yosef was in Mitzrayim. Now, were there 70 souls who came out who were the children of Yaakov Avinu? If you look back in Parshas Vayigash, where it enumerates them, we actually come up short one. Right? We have it's 70, but or 33 in the children of Leah. And Bifratan, when you look at the numbers, when you look at each one individually, you find it short one. You find 69. You find 32 amongst the descendants of Leah. So this sets off all kinds of discussions. Right? So the pshat, which we discussed before back in Perek Tes, was that Yecheved is not mentioned in the Pasuk. Yecheved was Noda Ben HaChemes. Right, it says his Yecheved was Asher Yolda Oisa LeLevi b'Mitzrayim. Right, she gave birth to her for Levi in Mitzrayim, and we say Leidasa b'Mitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim, but she wasn't conceived in Mitzrayim. She was born, so to speak, Bein HaChemes. She was born between the walls. Between the walls means like when you walk out of that door and you're standing in the doorway, you're between the walls, right? The thickness of the walls is there. So she was born upon entry into Mitzrayim. So she doesn't get mentioned like everybody else, but nevertheless she's counted amongst them. And the Maral explained earlier that the idea was because Klal Yisrael couldn't be nishtabed, they couldn't be enslaved to another nation until they had the relationship established with the nations. And the sign of their establishment of their relationship to the nations of the world, the way the relationship of Klal Yisrael to the nations of the world is supposed to be, is when we are 70 souls corresponding to the 70 nations of the world. So therefore, she was at the instant that Yecheved was born, that the Shibud began, that we came into Mitzrayim. We couldn't come into Mitzrayim to begin in earnest the relationship as a nation with Mitzrayim until Yecheved was born. So that was the way, that's one opinion that we have in Chazal. There's an opinion in Chazal that Yaakov Hishlim HaMinyan, that it was 69, Yaitse Yerech Yaakov, but Yaakov was as well part of the group. Yaakov was the 70th. Some say HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hishlim HaMinyan. Whatever it is, that the Rabban Shalom was the one who makes up the, who completes it. We find that concept in other places. So it's we put it together that way. And Maral has his own pshat, which we don't have to go into right now, about other Chazalin where they say that Serach Bas Osher Hishlum Aminyan or Chushim Bedan Hishlum Aminyan, where the Maral explains, look, they were counted amongst the 69. You can't say that they make up the 70, but they're the end. They're the closer. Chushim Ben Dan. Dan had one son, and Dan is the last, right? He's the Ma'asef L'chol HaMachanais. So Chushim Ben Dan is the 70th. Or some say Serach Bas Osher, because she was a woman. She was the only woman in the count of the Shivim Nefesh, besides for Dina, who was in the count of the first generation of the, with, you know, together with the 12 Shvatim. So therefore, she's sort of like the closer. That's the idea. But that's basically what he speaks about in Perek Yud Gimel. Again, somewhat familiar. If there's other things to be added, they're beyond my sensitivity to what the Maral is saying. So let's move on here to Perek Yud Dalet. And in Perek Yud Dalet, after we've already discussed the first seven psukim of Sefer Shmos, to whatever degree the Maral is going to discuss them here, where we speak about the Jewish people coming down to Mitzrayim, we speak about the 12 Shvatim and the 70 souls, and when Yisrael Poru Vayishu Tuvayir, but we asked me Moed Moed, what we learned about in Perek Yud Beis, which was the growth, the phenomenal growth which occurred once Yosef and his generation died, which was a finite number of 70. So remember, as we learned last time, then they were ready to grow to the next plateau. When you're at a finite level, at a finite plateau, so then that is your limit, that's your roof, that's your ceiling. And then, now they're ready to notch it up, to go to the next level, and therefore, Poru Vayishutsu Vayirbu Vayatz B'Maymoid. So that's what we have there. So now we get to the new phase, which is Vayokom Melech Chadash. What?
In Rabbi Lau's biography, he talks about his meeting with Castro. One of the questions Castor asked him, he says, it's impossible that they should have gone from 70 to 600,000.
Mm-hmm.
He says, they had sextuplets, and he says, doing the math. Mm-hmm. So I don't, he said, what about calculators? Oh, we don't do calculators. he couldn't satisfy.
Uh-huh. Okay, I didn't get up to that part of the book.
Didn't
yet.
Get to that part. So the Arab route. Went out with him.
Okay, so he says, it says, Vayokam el chodesh al Mitzrayim asher liyad es Yosef. A new king arose over Mitzrayim that did not know Yosef. Okay, so again, what we're going to be seeing here, and I'm going to go quickly through certain sections of the Maral and dwell on other sections of the Maral where he seems to be establishing more foundational principles. So there's a sequence of psukim here. Let's review the psukim. A new king arose over Egypt that did not know Yosef, and he said to his people, "Hinei amene Yisrael rava otzumi menu," the Jewish people. They're many. They're becoming a strong force. Havan ischak malei pen yirbel. Let's be wise to them, lest they grow. Voyak yizikrenu milchama. When a war will come, v'neisaf gamhu al seinenu. They will join forces with our enemies. V'nil chambanu, and they will wage war with us. V'olam in arts, and they will go up from the land. Okay, so that's what's going on. That's the plan. So, phase by phase. Vayokom elachodash al Mitzrayim. A new king arises over Mitzrayim. So Rashi brings the two opinions which are there in Chazal. One opinion is chodash mamish. One opinion is that he was really a new king. And the other opinion is shenischadshu gezeiraisav. It wasn't a new king. It was new decrees. It was a new phase in the kingdom. And the phase of this kingdom reflected Asher Layada Es Yosef, that didn't know Yosef, forgetting the contribution which the Jewish people through Yosef HaTzadik had made to the survival of Mitzrayim. Now, instead of viewing them as heroic and supportive of Mitzrayim, they viewed them as outsiders and as a threat. That was the new phase. And the Shaila in Chazal is, was this a new king, or was this just a change of heart? Right, and the Maral, in a certain sense, you know, minimizes the difference between the two pshatim. He says, look, in any case, this is not the same king of the days of Yosef. Why should we believe that so many years later, right, after Vayamas Yosef, v'chol achav, v'chol ador ahu, after the whole generation of Yosef's children, of the descendants of the Shivim Nefesh passed away, but the king who was there when was already the king of Mitzrayim when Yosef came in was still alive, he just had a change of heart. Why should we think that a person of such caliber, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, would have blessed with such Arichos Yamim? So of course it doesn't mean that, right? It's that the dynasty, right? Parai is Parai is Parai. You know, Avram had a Parai, and Yosef had a Parai, and Moshe had a Parai. Right? Parai is the the pharaohs, right? The dynasty. And the emphasis here is not on it being a new king. The emphasis was in a change of approach towards the Bnei Yisrael. And that's the Iker idea over here of it, that it's Nischadshu Gezeiraisav. And the other one says, no, it had to be a Melech Chadash. Someone who had that relationship with Yosef, or with the Jewish people as descendants of Yosef, in this certain way, would not be able to change gears like that. It had to be chadash mamish. Right? How could he go Jekyll and Hyde? How could he change his approach to the Jewish people so dramatically? It must have been that there was an actual break, a personality break, that would then lead to a change in attitude. But either way, of course, there's a big change which is happening here, and the disruption from the continuity of the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And he says to his people. So the Gemara says in Saita, like a lot of the Makairis here is the Gemara in Saita Daf Yad Aleph, the Gemara says, "Hu hischil be'etzel lakachu lakotchila." It was his idea, and therefore he got afflicted first. As the Pasuk says, by the Makkah of Tzfardea of the frogs, Uvecha, Uveamecha, that the frogs will come against you and against your people, it'll start with you. What's the idea that it started with Parai before anybody else? So Maral explains that the idea is that there's a notion of Eloi Avodim La'Avodim. Very interesting that he invokes this. It says, we know about it from Parshas Mishpatim, right, and from Parshas Behar. Ki avodai hem asher etzesi yisom me'eretz Mitzrayim. The Jewish people are my slaves that I took out of Mitzrayim. And Hashem is insistent, they're my slaves. I don't want them to be slaves to my slaves. I don't want them to be slaves to other Jews. Eved Ivri is not something which I like. Eved Ivri is something which Hashem limited in the way it works, in term limits, and so on and so forth, because it's not the situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that the Klal Yisrael should be enslaved to slaves. Says the Maral, the idea of Hu Hischil was that the first phase was that Klal Yisrael should become Avodim only to the Melech of Mitzrayim, to the King of Mitzrayim. So he started it. He was the one who initiated the Golus. He was the one who initiated the Shibud. And then Klal Yisrael had to... And then, of course, he got his people involved. But there's a certain dignity to the turnaround starting with Parai. If you recall, and you came in right in time, right? But if you recall, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago and followed through with it last week, that a couple of weeks ago we talked about the transition of Yosef into Mitzrayim, where first he was sold, right, to the Midian, to the Ishmaelim, to the Seichem, to the Midianim, to the kingdom of Mitzrayim, and then to a particular person. And the being sold to the kingdom of Mitzrayim is a level of lesser slavery, when first of all you're involved for the tzibur, second of all you don't have one boss, right? It's a sort of split. So these are things that are they're phases, and so it's reflected here as well. Paroi starts and then it trickles down to his avodim, like we were shown last week in the Ramban, that the way it worked actually was first they worked for the government, then they went to individual people. So there's a notion of who hischil be'etza, but so even though that's to some degree a dignifying thing for the Jewish people, but it also means that therefore he's going to be the first target for the Makkah, because if he's the one who started it for whatever reason, so therefore the Makkah starts with him on a leadership level as well. Okay, now
Paro owned everything anyhow because of Yosef's deeds. So everyone technically in Egypt was Paro's avodim. They were serfs,
right? They were, but it's still their avodim. The Paro, Paro is the one who's on top of them, and therefore if they have a direct connection to Paro, it's more distinguished. Now the piece that the Maral goes on here at greater length, which we're going to dwell on at greater length, and is the Hava Nischak Malay. Hava Nischak Malay. Let us wisen ourselves to him. Let us have a wise plan to be able to conquer him. Now who's him? What's him that we speak about here? The him that we speak about, Poshut, is the Jewish people. However, it doesn't say Nischak Malohem, it doesn't say to them. It says to him. Now, so Rashi makes a drasha on this, and he says that his focus was specifically on Mashion Shel Yisrael, the savior of the Jewish people. His focus was on one individual. And Rashi says, very famous, Nischakem L'Mashion Shel Yisrael L'Dunam B'Mayim. Shekvar nishba shloyavi mabu la'elam. Right, it was going against the Mashiach shel Yisrael, the savior of the Jewish people, to judge him with water, because Hashem won't promise that he wouldn't bring a flood against the world. And of course, this follows through in the Rashi as it goes on, that we have this idea that Amr Leitzdagninov Hashaosil Livolad Ben Hamashiach Isam, they knew that they were going to have a child that would save the Jewish people, and therefore he was wary of it and he wanted to knock him out. Rashi says Yom Shenei Lad Moshe and Pasuk Chav Beis, on the day that Moshe was born, Amr Leitzdagnina of the stargazers of Paro said, Hayom Neilad Moshian, Ve'inanu Yoidim Imi Mitzrayim Imi Yisrael. Today, the Savior of the Jewish people was born, but we don't know whether he's an Egyptian or a Jew. We see that he's going to be destroyed by water. And therefore he made a decree altogether that any boy who is born should be thrown into the water. But what he didn't realize, yesterday's parsha, that the water which would do in, so to speak, the leader of the Jewish people was the Mei Meriva. It wasn't drowning in the water, it was the Mei Meriva. Okay, so that was the issue, that was the mistake. So, first of all, just one thing that the Maral says. Rashi, when it says lai, says Rashi, la'am, the singular to him is to the nation. Right? You speak of a nation very often in the singular. That's the pasha pshat. That's the simple meaning. Chazal make a drasha. Lai is l'mashian shel Yisrael to a particular individual. And the Maral just points out, and he does this here, and he does this as well in the Gur Aryeh, that the Chazal don't even make a drasha. For example, it says pen yirbe, v'naisav gam hu al seinenu v'nilcham bonu v'olam in ha'aretz. It's all in the singular. It's all in the singular, but we don't make drushes of every singular expression because we understand a nation is a corporate entity that's referred to in the singular. But there are certain words which the Torah uses as mutim. Loi v'loi l'chaveirai. Right? V'yasimu olav v'loi l'chaveirai. There, it's much more of an emphatic singular. And because it's a more emphatic singular, that's why we have the right to take it as a mute, as an exclusion. So that's the way the Maral says, that's the beginning of this drasha. But what's the idea of Nischakem L'mashion Shel Yisrael? Right, so we can take this simply as a cute thing, you know, that the Itzdagninim saw that he was going to have water as his end. So they figured it out, and they therefore decided that they're going to punish him with water. But remember, in this pasuk, we're not yet up to even the gzeir of the water, exactly, right? We're still at a very early stage. Before that's mentioned, Havan is chak molei pen yirbe. We're talking about the taskmasters. But yet we see in this the expression of L'mashion Shel Yisrael. So we have to deal with the water. Rashi brings it in at this point. Chazal bring it in at this point for a reason. However, it's still very early in the process. What's the idea of Mashion Shel Yisrael? So the Maral says as follows. Ein das Chazal. Chazal don't mean to completely separate the drush from the pshat. This is a big yesod in how we are to read the words of Chazal, a yesod which the Maral writes about in the Be'er HaShlishi of the Maharal's Be'er HaGoyla, where he speaks about the general approaches of Chazal. In the Be'er HaShlishi, he speaks about how Chazal make drushes that sometimes deviate, it would seem at first glance, so significantly from Pshutei, from the simple rendering of the Chazal. How do they do such a thing? And the Maral's approach is to first show how the Pasuk is indicating that there's something special going on here. So here will be this Lai, Lashon Yachid, in its particular way, and then to show how the Drasha really fits with the Pshat. That it adds a layer of depth, of course, but it's not completely going off on a separate thing. And so the Maral says over here. When it says, L'mashion Shel Yisrael, it's not a separate thing. Here it's saying, we're worried about them, we have to make sure they don't grow, so we're going to put on them taskmasters, and so on and so forth. And Chazal are darshening in that lay is for the Savior of the Jewish people to put him in the water. We haven't gone there yet. What's going on? What's the relationship between the drash and the pshat? He says, "Hey, mefarshim loy la'am kimashmoi to the people, as it said, rak shiritzayin loy ma la'am shem yuchadim minasim kish echad." Referring to a nation in the singular is in itself significant. You can refer to it in the plural. Many times we speak im shamaya tishmeu el mitzvaysai. Right? We speak to a plurality as a plurality. Right? When do we choose to speak to the nation as an individual? What makes the nation into an individual that it could be able to be referred to in the singular, in a corporate entity, when they're nasim ki'ish echad? What makes Klal Yisrael like one to be referred to in the singular? Right? Remember the Rashi in Parshas Vayigash, where it says that the Bnei Yisrael came down to Mitzrayim with shivim nefesh. So Rashi says by Esav it's six, and it calls it nafshos. By Klal Yisrael it's 70, and it calls it nefesh. Why? Because there's an inherent unity in Klal Yisrael, and there's an inherent division and dissonance amongst Esav. Right, that's the contrast between, right? The Rashi in Parshas Vayigash by the Shivim Nefesh, right, at the end of this Aliyah. Matzasi b'vayikra b'esav sheish nefashos hayu lei v'akosu karis nefashos beisei. L'vishayu aydin l'lekus harbe, because they worshipped many gods. Yaakov with Shivim, and the Pasuk calls it Nefesh because they worshipped one God. And so writes the Maral here. What distinguishes us from amongst the nations of the world is our monotheism, our worship together of one God. He was trying to undermine that which was the unity, that which unified the Jewish people. And that was what he calls Mashiach Shel Yisrael. Okay, now we'll see what this means in Yeretz Hashem. We're going to try to develop this a little bit further. But the idea again is that it was the unity of the Jewish people. And the unity of the Jewish people is forged by the fact that we worship one God. Remember, Maral actually refers to it in the last perek, but when Klal Yisrael stood around, when the Bnei Yaakov stood around the bed of Yaakov Avinu, when Yaakov was dying, and he lost Gilu Shechina, he lost his ability to see the Ketz and so on. So what happened? So he was worried. So the Shvatim said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, K'shem She'ein B'libcha Elechad, K'achein B'libeinu Elechad. We said, Shema Yisrael Hashem is our God, like you have in your heart one, we have in our heart one, so we are one. Right? V'mika Amcha Yisrael Goy Echad Bo'aretz. It's all possible. It's all connected to us. We are unified in this sense. So that was what he was trying to undermine. He was trying to undermine their connection to the Keil Echad, Mashiach Shel Yisrael. Now, we'll see in Yeretz Hashem a little bit more again. We're going to go into this a little bit more. But the one thing we could say, Pashut, Haleluka halu avdei Hashem v'loy avdei parai. When we are avadim la'avadim, which yes, it's true, we just learned before that it's better to be a servant of Paro than to be a servant of Paro. But it's better to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than to be a servant of anything else. And shibud malchius, when we are underneath another kingdom and we are so concerned about what that other kingdom does to us, that does distract us from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. When the Pasuk says in the Teichecha that I'll take you to other lands where you worship other gods, the Targum says consistently, it's not that you will necessarily worship other gods, but because you are serving other nations and those nations serve other gods, it's as if you're serving those other gods. Like the idea is that you don't see yourself as being governed completely by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person, I think I told some of you once the story with the cab driver that I once hailed down on the street. And as you know what happens in Eretz Yisrael, you see the cab, you see the yellow thing on top, right? That says it's a taxi, and you don't always see what's in the front window. But the rule of thumb in Eretz Yisrael is if in the front window it has a little thing, whether a white sign or an orange sign or a yellow sign in the front window, tells you which group they're part of, then it's a Jewish cab. If it has nothing in the window, then it's probably an Arab taxi driver, right? Just a roaming Arab taxi driver. Sometimes people are more worried about that. Sometimes people are less worried about that. So this guy pulls up, and I see nothing in the window, but whatever it was, I get in. And it's a Hamish Shaheed. I mean, he was a fine Jew with a long beard. So we were driving, and I say, tell me something, why aren't you part of a chevra? You know, usually when there's nothing in the window, it's Aravi, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? So he says, you have to understand, when you're part of a chevra, when you're part of a group, so there's a dispatcher. So the dispatcher is very important. The dispatcher is God. You know, he gets a call, and he says he needs somebody to come and take them, you know, 5 blocks, you know, from Chveis, from Rechavia to the old city, you know. So he calls Shmuel, he says Rechavia to the old city. Then he gets a call, someone to take to the airport. So he says, who do I like? Right? He calls so-and-so, he dispatches so-and-so, take him to the airport. He says, so what happens? Everybody goes, they bring chocolate chip cookies, right, to the dispatcher. They're very nice to the dispatcher because it depends on the dispatcher. He says, I was in a chevra. He says, and I stopped thinking about the Rebbeinu Shalom, I started thinking about the dispatcher. So he says, now I go out into the street, I say, Rebbeinu Shalom, whoever you're going to send my way, he'll send somebody who wants me to take 3 blocks. Somebody wants to take him and his family to Tzfas, right? So they send me somebody to go to Tzfas. That's the way he wanted it. I never had that in a taxi in Baltimore. I don't know about you, right? But that's the idea. When there's anything in between, it undermines, it distracts from the kelachod. From the singular focus and the singular belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I've mentioned again to some of you many times before in Meshech Chochmah and Parshas Baal Leischa, who points out that the only people in the Torah who are given the name, the moniker, Eved Hashem, servant of Hashem, are those who never refer to anybody else as their master. But for example, Yehoshua, who said, Adoni Moshe, my master Moshe, not bad, right, Moshe? My master, he's not called Eved Hashem. Because there was something that stood there that distracted from the service of Hashem. Shibud Mitzrayim is Hallelu Avdei Parai. When we get out of Mitzrayim, it's Avdei Hashem. Now we can give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now it's different. So he wanted to break up this invincible unity of the Jewish people who were unified in belief in Hashem Yisborach and focus on Hashem Yisborach. So what did he want to do? He wanted to be meshabed them. He wanted to enslave them. He refers to it, the pasuk refers to it as Mashiach Shel Yisrael, that which would save the Jewish people. What the Maral sounds like he is saying here is Mashiach Shel Yisrael, that which saved the Jewish people, is not a person, but it's this belief that is that which would save the Jewish people. And it's a little bit hard to say that that's what he means, or that's what it means literally, because it says ladunam b'mayim, and you know that's got a dovetail with what he speaks about later, which was that the Mashiach of the Jewish people would be the mayim. So I don't know whether to take the Maral that way, you know, that kind of a little literal form. But let's learn a little bit more of the Maral to understand perhaps what he could mean as well here by Mashiach Shel Yisrael and by this Achdus. Okay, so I'm going to read to you a few more lines. V'chochma hazais, the wisdom of Parai, Ku yisborach mahaves kol hanimtzoim me'itoi hakol neisein hatzura v'hachomer. From Hashem, everything comes into existence, and from Him is granted both the tzura, the form, and the chaymer, and the substance. When those beings that were formed by Hashem leave the order which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to be in, mavir es hatzura asher bor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's disrupting the tzura, the form that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Yadua l'kol maskil, it is known to any intelligent person, Kiatsura davar mekuyam. The tsura is something which is mekuyam, which is lasting. Uvimayim ein kiyum. And water has no lasting form. Vasherim nigorim arta, as they move along the ground. Umipnei miu tsurasam loinamar b'mayim briya v'yitzira b'parshas breishas. By mayim, it never says Hashem created the water. It never said that He formed the water. Because water is something with least tsura. It's a rayal miut hayitzira b'hem. V'chein ha-choshech loinamar by briya v'yitzira. Mayim just is described as existing. Right? It never describes them being created. Why doesn't it describe it being created? Why doesn't it describe the creation of the darkness? Why doesn't it describe the creation of the water? Says the Maral, because they are very limited in terms of their creation. Darkness is an absence. And water is formless. What's the idea again? Water has no shape. It takes on the shape of whatever container it has. When you pour it out of the container, it slips and slides and falls all over the place and dissipates, goes into all kinds of corners. That doesn't happen with a solid. That doesn't happen with the aside of afar. The aside of afar of dust, right? It's there. It exists in a way where, you know, physical hard things hold themselves together. Water represents chaymer without surah. This is a yisai, this is a principle which we have in the writings of the Maral and others in many places, which is water in a certain sense is the ultimate image of chaymer, of physicality without surah. That's why many times water is compared to taiva. Taiva is compared to water, rather. And now you have to work it out, because of course taiva is also compared to water, and it really requires an understanding in this light. But we're not going to deal with that today. Right? But here, we're describing this picture of water as chaymer lacking tzura. That's why water, what we mentioned yesterday, the Maral doesn't say it here, I think he says it elsewhere, water is always b'loshein rabim, in the plural. Mayim is in the plural. Right? Because tzura, and this is getting to what the Maral is really speaking about here. I think he's alluding to it, but he doesn't speak it out, the Lashon Rabbim thing of Mayim. But Tzura is what unifies. Chaymer, right? You have clay. You have a ball of clay. The ball of clay is unified. You know, you never know, right? You're going to use it. You'll use some of it. You'll throw away some of it. When you put it into a shape, when you make it into a bowl, you know what there is there to stay. Course, for as long as the tzura lasts. You know what's gone, you know, it's out. What's in is in, and what's out is out. Because what tzura does is, it gives the matter direction. It gives the matter purpose. And therefore, it structures it, it unifies it, it brings it together towards a single purpose. Mayim represents lack of tzura. What was supposed to make the Jewish people was Echad. Again, Kal Yisrael is a whole number of people. It's 600,000 people, or however many people was at this point in time. But he refers to them as a single entity that he wants to undermine. And the single entity is Kal Yisrael as a corporate entity, as a unique nation with a specific purpose. What's Paro want to do? What does anybody want to do when they absorb a population like that? They want to divide and conquer. They want to break them up from being an entity with its own national pride and identity and history. That's what happens to nations all the time. Everybody knows. We can get tired of almost of saying it over and over again. How, you know, what happened to the Romans? What happened to the Greeks? Right? In the world of divide and conquer, usually a nation which is in Golus for a period of time, they break up and they get absorbed maybe into the regular nation, maybe a lower class, but they don't have a distinct identity of their own that will rise up again. You know, maybe they have Italian food, you know, but they're not going to go and create some kind of a reconstitution of the people. Klal Yisrael does it. Why? Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad. the unifying belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what keeps Klal Yisrael together. What makes us loy, not lahem. To him, not to them. Paro was trying to break that. He would break it, he would try to break it by ruling over them to the fact where he would hope to eclipse the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their lives. That was what he was trying to do. The Mashiach Shel Yisrael, if we want to speak in a literal sense, the savior of the Jewish people, is the Melech. Yisrael is the king of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is Vayi Bishur and Melech. Right? The Melech, that's his job. The Melech's job is to bring all of the people together. That's why in Jewish thinking, in Jewish parlance, a Melech can't be self-serving. That's why it was so difficult when they switched from the Navi to the Melech. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu said, I've led the Jewish people, I never took anything for myself. Shmuel HaNavi said, I never took anything for myself. Right? You're taking a king, he can now confiscate things for himself. What's the idea? Because right, and leadership in the Jewish people is to see yourself as part of a general, as part of the whole entity of the Jewish people, not for yourself. So therefore you unify the people for a purpose which is beyond individuals. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Hashem Echad. Pare was trying to break up the Jewish people, to get rid of their Mashiach that would direct them in this unified form. He wanted to be marbe them. It's funny. It says, pen yirba, lest they grow. But in fact, what he was trying to do, he didn't want them to grow in numbers, but what he was doing was, he was dividing them. He was making them into many instead of being one. Not large in number, but many instead of one. Hava nischak maloi pen yirba. This was the goal of Pare. And that's why the way to undo it is with Mayim. And says the Maharal that he brings a Medrash in Breishis Rabbah. The Medrash says as follows. Amar Rabbi Levi, Yikovu HaMayim. Right, the Pasuk says Yikovu HaMayim. So Pashat, what's that mean? The waters should gather, right? The formation of the oceans. However, Yikovu can also mean, like from the word Kaveh, which is to yearn, to hope, to look forward to. So Rav Levi Darshan, Yikvu li amayim mashani asid lases behen. The waters have something to look forward to, something I'm going to do with them. What's that? Mashal melech shebana paltin vahishir behen diurim. A king built a palace, and he put residence in the palace. Al ilmima asu hayu mashkimim v'shelim v'shel amamelech b'remizo v'etzba. There were mutes, deaf mutes, and they would greet the king with sign language. Amar HaMelech, ilu hayu pikhim alachas kama v'kama. If they weren't deaf mutes, if they were capable people, ooh, how they would speak to me, what beautiful praises they would offer to me. So Yishiv HaMelech ben Diurim pikhim. So the king went, excuse me, and he put into the palace, not deaf mutes, but he put in people who were able to speak. Amdu v'chsiku bepaltin amru shalanohi. And they went and they took over the palace. They said, it's ours. Ein paltin zeshal melech. The king, the palace doesn't belong to the king. Amr HaMelech, the king said, tachzer hapaltin l'kamay shahaysa. I'm going to make the palace the way it was originally. And I'm going to throw them out. In other words, one could have thought, the king could have thought, that the more sophisticated they are, the more sophisticated a manner they will serve me. However, what happened was the opposite, that the more sophisticated they were, the more resistant they were to serve him, the more they saw themselves as being able to do it on their own. So the king says, you know what, I'm going to go throw them out and I'm going to bring back the simpletons who, while their service of me is more simple, but at the same time, their recognition of me is more complete. And says the Medrash, so too with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Mitchilasei Shel Olam Hayashvachei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olam Min HaMayim. From the beginning of the world, Hashem's praise came from the waters. Right? What do we say? Mikoleis Mayim Rabim Adir Mishbreyom Adir Bamorem Hashem. right, from the sounds of the Mayim Rabim, of the many waters, it comes forth that Hashem is the strong one in the heavens. Kol Hashem al Amoyim, right, the voice of Hashem is heard over the waters. So if Hashem said, if the water, which is so unsophisticated, so lacking of structure and form, praises this me this way, imagine if I create a person, how he's going to praise me. So he created people. And then Dor HaMabul got up, and they rebelled against Hashem. And Dor Enosh got up, and they rebelled against Hashem. And Dor HaFloga, Hashem said, let me get rid of these and go back to the water. As it says, Vahi HaGeshem Al Oretz Arbuim Yoyim. Going back to the water, says the Maral, is to that which is basic matter, the simplest, the item with the least tsura. And the item with the least tsura of its own searches for tsura and recognizes, therefore, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate Baal Tsura, the one that can ultimately give form. However, man has tsura. And maybe with his tzura, his acknowledgement of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be that much greater. But maybe with his tzura, he will no longer want to acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the thing. That's the thing. The more sophisticated we are, the trickier it is, the more challenging it is to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves. The more vulnerable we are, the easier it is for us to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu upon ourselves. In the Midbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to school us in the vulnerability thing, realizing how much we are completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We were in a place where we could not survive, whether from food or from exposure or from whatever it is, without Siyata Deshmaya. And that kind of a thing is supposed to cultivate in ourselves an understanding, a mindset, that we look towards the Rabbeinu Shlomo, and that we are indeed fully dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When instead we used our sophistication to think that we are the kings on this earth, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let me go back to the less sophisticated. Let me go back to the Mayim. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets rid of the Tzura when that happens. That's the idea. The havoras hatsura al yedei hamayim, right? So he says, "Mupnei ki havoras metzias hatsura de mayim lachen kasher hakikim hakadosh baruch hu b'ritzim lech lachen actually haver a mabul." He just made the gzera that there won't be a mabul. What does it help not to have mabul? You can bring fire and sulfur and whatever it is and destroy the world that way, like he would do by Sodom. El shekol inyan havaras ha'elam havaras hatsura ayidei amayim kashin yisba'al l'mala. What he's saying is he's not going to regress to take away the form and structure of the world through water, like he said before. And that's why they were maskim shel Yisrael nidonim rak b'mayim kol kol midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu mida keneged mida. That's the idea. So this is the... this is the idea which the Maral wants to say in this. And that's the big thing. What unifies a nation, what unifies anything, is purpose. Right? You have a bunch of scraps of wood, right? They bring a load of bricks, a pallet of bricks. And it's a pallet of bricks. They use them in construction of a building and they become one. You don't refer to it anymore as the thousand bricks. You refer to it as the building. Because it has a tzura, it has a purpose, it has a direction. Mayim is again the most lacking of form and structure, the most lacking of direction. It just goes off in any way, and you know, again, lowest level, wherever it is, it scatters. And what Paro wanted to do was he wanted to dissolve the unity of Klal Yisrael, and the way that would happen would be by dissolving the direction and the unity of purpose of Klal Yisrael. And that unity of purpose is the Rabbeinu Shalom. And the job of Mashiach Shal Yisrael, of the Savior of the Jewish people, is to, again, unify them towards this purpose. Vayhi bishurun melech bisaseif roshei am yachad shiftei Yisrael. Right? That's the king who brings together yachad shiftei Yisrael. That's his role. That's his job, to unify things around a singular purpose. And that's why what Paro was trying to do was trying to dissolve the Jewish people, you know, in this case, B'mayim, you know, to try to have their unity and their direction and their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu end in this way. Now, the fact that it would happen at Mei Meriva, right, so one has to understand exactly what that is, and it's, again, it's something which could require its own discussion at length. Maral does not discuss it here, but one of the things which we were talking about, which we pointed out over Shabbos, was that whenever Klal Yisrael asks for water in the Midbar, the term which is used is Vayorev. Vayorev means to argue, but it comes from the term Ribui, right? When you argue, you're divided. You multiply, not in a good way, right? But you separate. They argued over Mayim. Mayim is Ribui, right? The first Ribui in the world was, the first division in the world was, right? Yirakia, Besech HaMayim, dividing between the waters above and the waters below. Waters Ribui. And when Klal Yisrael came to argue with Moshe Rabbeinu, when they were focused on their thirst and not focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was taking care of them all the way through, that was a dissolution of the Ribui of Klal Yisrael. That was undermining their following of Moshe as a unifying force of the Jewish people. Ladunam b'mayim. Ladunam b'mayim. Right? If Moshe Rabbeinu did not succeed in bringing them together then, so then the Ribui was to some degree in place. And he would not be able to take the Jewish people further out of Mitzrayim. Okay? Needs more discussion for another time. Okay, that's what we're going to do from Perek Yudalet, Mi'at Hashem. Next time we will continue with Perek Tesvav. Actually, let me note something. First of all, next week is Shavuos Har B'Tammuz, so Mi'at Hashem we will learn. However, we will not start at 8:35 because we won't be finished until closer to 9 o'clock.